Oh, he needs to get.
From New York, this is Democracy Now.
From a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
Well, is there
I just answered. Go ahead.
President Biden's issued a full and unconditional pardon to his son, Hunter, after he and the White House repeatedly insisted a pardon would not be issued. We'll speak with Mehdi Hasan of Zatteo about Biden's pardon, as well as Trump's latest transition picks, including his in-law, Charles Kushner, who Trump pardoned 4 years ago after he served time for tax evasion. Trump has also picked Kash Patel to head the FBI. The ultra-Trump loyalist has threatened to go after the media.
We will go out and find the conspirators, not just in government, but in the media. Yes, we're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens, who helped Joe Biden rig presidential elections. We're going to come after you. Whether it's criminally or civilly, we'll figure that out. But yeah, we're putting you all on notice.
We'll also look at the surprise rebel offensive in Aleppo, Syria. And remember Mahmoud Ahmadhoun, the co-founder of the Gaza Soup Kitchen. He was killed in an Israeli drone strike on Saturday. We'll speak to his brother, Henny, the director of philanthropy at UNRWA USA. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. President Biden's issued a pardon for his son, Hunter Biden, Sunday evening in a major reversal after President Biden repeatedly vowed not to use his executive authority to intervene in his son's criminal cases. Hunter Biden was set to be sentenced December 12th for his federal gun conviction and on December 16th for his California tax evasion case. President Biden said he made the decision because the charges against Hunter were politically motivated, he said, and instigated by his rivals, saying his son was, quote, singled out only because he is my son, unquote. President Biden's now facing renewed pressure to commute the sentences of death row prisoners and to pardon or grant clemency to political prisoners like indigenous leader Leonard Peltier and the whistleblowers Edward Snowden and Julian Assange. Meanwhile, the group The Debt Collective posted, quote, pardon our student loans next. Health officials in northern Gaza report Israeli attacks killed more than 200 people on Saturday. The dead included 40 members of the Al-Arraj family, who were killed in a single Israeli strike on a building in the Tel al-Zatar neighborhood. Israel has also killed a number of medical professionals and aid workers in recent days. On Friday, a drone killed Dr. Ahmed Al-Khalout, head of the intensive care unit at Kamel Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia. A separate Israeli drone strike killed Chef Mahmoud Ahmadhoun, who co-founded the Gaza Soup Kitchen that has fed Palestinians suffering from hunger due to Israel's blockade of food aid. Ahmadhoun was killed on his way to Kamel Adwan Hospital. On Saturday, Israel bombed a vehicle in Khan Yunis, killing 5 people, including 3 aid workers, with World Central Kitchen. Israel also killed a staff member of Save the Children Saturday in an airstrike on Khan Yunis. Meanwhile, Maysara Ahmed Salah has become the 192nd journalist killed by Israel. He worked for the Quds News Network. Attacks also continued on Gaza City, where residents of the Sheikh Radwan neighborhood gathered to clear the rubble and recover the bodies of loved ones killed in an Israeli overnight strike Saturday.
I want to tell the free people of the world that claim freedom and call on human freedom and peace. We ask, what has kept you silent for a year and a month? People are undergoing a genocide, being killed, torn apart. Life is not possible here. It is hell, other than the fact that there are no hospitals to take in the injured, nor are there cemeteries to take in the killed, nor are there people capable of pulling out bodies from under the rubble. What is the world waiting for? for? The free people of the world and its organizations, leaders, governments. What are you waiting for? Gaza is being annihilated. Gaza is being annihilated.
We'll speak with the director of philanthropy of UNRWA USA later in the broadcast, who lost his brother this weekend. The Biden administration's reportedly approved another $680 million weapons sale to Israel, including thousands of additional joint direct attack munition kits and hundreds of small diameter bombs. The deal's separate from the $20 billion arms sales recently approved by the U.S. Senate. This comes as Israel's former defense minister, Moshe Bogi Yaalon, has accused Israel of ethnic cleansing and committing war crimes in Gaza. Yaalon, who served as Netanyahu's defense minister from 2013 to 16, made the accusation several times over the weekend, including in an interview on one of Israel's biggest television channels.
To occupy, to annex, to cleanse ethnic cleansing. Look at the northern Gaza Strip and settle a Jewish settlement. That's the point. There is no Beit Lahia. There is no Beit Hanun. They are operating in Jabalia and are essentially clearing the area of Arabs.
Israel's continuing to strike Lebanon despite last week's ceasefire. France has accused Israel of violating the ceasefire at least 52 times. Meanwhile, residents of southern Lebanon continue to return home to assess damage caused by Israel's invasion, defying threats by Israeli forces not to travel south. This is Hamza Alouta, who ran a soup kitchen out of his home in the city of Baalbek, which was destroyed in the Israeli invasion.
This kitchen, where we used to cook in the month of Ramadan, we used to cook for special occasions, to be able to feed orphans, residents, and those in need that nobody is looking out for. 2,500 people daily in Ramadan, 30 days. 2,500 people used to eat the food from this kitchen. Are there rockets in this kitchen? What's in this kitchen? They did not even show mercy to those in need. Even those in need, they did not spare. Where's the mercy?
In Syria, opposition forces are pushing towards Hama after launching a surprise offensive to seize most of Aleppo, Syria's second largest city. Syrian and Russian forces have launched air attacks on the rebel-held cities of Idlib and Aleppo, a city where rebels were driven out 8 years ago by Bashar al-Assad's forces. The London-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reports 446 people have been killed in Syria since Wednesday. The offensive is being led by an armed group called Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which grew out of the Nusra Front, which had ties to al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. We'll have more on Syria later in the broadcast. Here in New York, police arrested 21 activists who disrupted the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade Thursday. The protesters briefly blocked off part of the parade route, unfurling a banner that read, quote, "Don't celebrate genocide, arms embargo now, free Palestine," unquote. The following day, protests unfolded in malls and other retail sites across the United States as shoppers headed to stores for Black Friday sales. Palestinian rights groups had called on consumers to boycott Black Friday in protest. President-elect Donald Trump has announced plans to nominate Kash Patel to replace current FBI Director Christopher Wray, who Patel has called a, quote, "stooge of the deep state." Patel is a Trump loyalist who's called for the FBI's D.C. office to be closed and turned into a, quote, "museum of the deep state." Last year, during an interview with Steve Bannon, Kash Patel called for prosecuting journalists.
We will go out and find the conspirators, not just in government, but in the media. Yes, we're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens, who helped Joe Biden rig presidential elections. We're going to come after you. Whether it's criminally or civilly, we'll figure that out. But yeah, we're putting you all on notice.
Kash Patel has also embraced QAnon conspiracy theories, supported the January 6th insurrection, and has made hundreds of thousands of dollars from various commercial and consulting ventures tied to Trump. The man who he would replace, Christopher Wray, was also appointed by Trump. In other transition news, Trump has picked the real estate developer Charles Kushner to be U.S. ambassador to France. Kushner is the father of Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who's married to Trump's daughter, Ivanka. In 2020, Trump pardoned Charles Kushner, who spent 14 months in federal prison after pleading guilty to tax evasion and witness tampering in the 2000s. Trump has also picked the Lebanese-born billionaire Massad Boulos to serve as his new advisor in Arab and Middle Eastern affairs. Boulos is the father-in-law of Trump's other daughter, Tiffany. The New Yorker magazine's Jane Mayers revealed Trump's pick for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was forced out of leadership roles at two veterans organizations for misusing funds, sexually harassing women, and being repeatedly drunk on the job. According to a whistleblower report, Hegseth once had to be restrained from joining dancers on the stage of a strip club. In another incident, Hegseth drunkenly chanted, kill all Muslims at a bar in 2015. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports Hegseth's own mother once accused him of mistreating women. In 2018, Penelope Hegseth wrote him an email that read in part, quote, on behalf of all the women, and I know it's many, you have abused in some way, I say, get some help and take an honest look at yourself. Unquote. The email was sent a year after a woman accused Hegseth of raping her at a California hotel. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau met with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago Friday, days after Trump vowed to impose a 25% tariff on all Mexican and Canadian goods as soon as he returns to office. Canada since said it would implement more hardline border measures in hopes Trump will back down, including the possible deployment of drones and helicopters to the U.S.-Canada border. Meanwhile, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum, who threatened to slap retaliatory tariffs on the U.S., also spoke with Trump last week. After their phone call, Trump declared Sheinbaum, quote, agreed to stop migration through Mexico, effectively closing our southern border, unquote. But President Sheinbaum refuted Trump's account, saying she simply explained Mexico's continuing migration policies and that there's no plan to close borders, she said. President Biden's in Angola today to promote a rail project that the U.S. hopes will counter Beijing's influence in the region. The project would connect the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Zambia to Angola's port of Lobito, allowing the U.S. to exploit the region's vast mineral resources, including copper and cobalt. The ongoing plundering of resources from the DRC by the U.S. and Europe has led to decades of devastating war, poverty, and environmental destruction. It will be the first time a U.S. president visits Angola. Chad has ended its long-standing military partnership with France. The move is the latest blow to France's colonial legacy in the Sahel region and follows the expulsion of French troops from Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso. Residents in Chad's capital, N'Djamena, voiced their support.
I think the Chadian government is right to demand the departure of French troops because Chad has already had 66 years of independence and the French troops are only here to plunder Chadian resources. They have nothing positive to offer. Since their presence, we have faced attacks around the lake, but we have received no positive response. So the government is right. We need to start developing now and be truly independent.
The announcement by Chad was made Thursday, hours after a visit by the French foreign minister. France currently has around 1,000 troops stationed in Chad, which won its independence from France in 1960. In the Republic of Georgia, over 200 people have been arrested in the capital, Tbilisi, as tens of thousands of protesters took to the streets for a fourth straight day Sunday to denounce the Georgian government's decision to suspend its bid to join the European Union. The Georgian president, Salome Zurabishvili, who backs joining the EU, said she'll refuse to leave office until new parliamentary elections are held following allegations of fraud against the governing Georgian Dream Party, which claimed victory last month. Georgian Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze praised police violence against protesters and has said his government will not resume debate on joining the EU until 2028. In India, civil liberties groups have criticized the Modi government for filing charges against human rights activist Nadeem Khan as part of what's been described as a, quote, targeted witch hunt. Khan is a vocal critic of Hindu supremacist violence and runs a civil rights group that tracks and fights cases of mob lynchings and hate crimes against Muslims. And a global UN summit on plastics ended in Busan, South Korea, early this morning without a much-anticipated treaty after fossil fuel companies in oil-rich countries refused to agree to limit plastic production. The Panama delegation, which introduced a global proposal to cut down production, called the conclusion of the summit a moral failure. This is Juan Carlos Monterrey Gomez from Panama's Ministry of the Environment.
Plastics are not convenience. Plastics are poison. Every piece that we allow to produce without limits is a direct assault on our health, on our nature, and our children. For those blocking progress, you are allowing this crisis to fester, and it will kill us. This is just not a treaty about plastics. This is humanity's line on the sand.
Over 100 countries back proposals to curb the world's output of plastic, but nations including the U.S., Russia, Saudi Arabia, and trade groups like the American Chemistry Council have refused to support such a call, insisting on focusing on plastic pollution. The world produces some 350 million metric tons of plastic waste each year. About half of that ends up in landfills. Less than 10% of it gets recycled. The U.S. is the world's top contributor to plastic waste. The U.N. talks will now head to yet another round next year. On Saturday, Greenpeace activists staged a protest by boarding a tanker that was set to load toxic plastic chemicals from South Korea's Hanwha Total Energies complex. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. President Biden's issued a full and unconditional pardon for his son, Hunter Biden, Sunday evening, just days before Hunter was set to be sentenced for his federal gun conviction in a separate tax evasion case. In a statement, President Biden said, quote, "The charges in his cases came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me and oppose my election. No reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he is my son, and that is wrong." Biden went on to write, quote, "I believe in the justice system, but as I have wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process and it led to a miscarriage of justice," unquote. President Biden and his aides had repeatedly said Hunter Biden would not be pardoned. This is Biden in June being interviewed by ABC's David Muir.
"As we sit here in Normandy, your son Hunter is on trial, and I know that you cannot speak about an ongoing federal prosecution. But let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?"
"Yes."
"And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?"
"Yes."
"You have."
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre has also repeatedly denied the president would pardon his son.
"From a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?"
"No."
"Well, is there
a—" "I just said no. I just answered. Go ahead. Go ahead."
"First briefing since Hunter was indicted again in Los Angeles. Why doesn't President Biden just pardon him?"
"President, I've been very clear. The president's not going to pardon
him." "And ultimately, again, you've also said several times that the president would not pardon or commute sentences for his son, Hunter. I just want to make sure that that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying he would not."
It's still a no. It's still a no.
"It will always be a no."
"It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No."
President Biden's decision to pardon his son comes as President-elect Donald Trump prepares to take office after campaigning in part on prosecuting his political enemies while also vowing to pardon Trump supporters who participated in the January 6th insurrection. Over the weekend, Trump picked Kash Patel to head the FBI. Patel has vowed to go after what he calls conspirators in the government and media. Trump also picked the real estate developer Charles Kushner to be U.S. ambassador to France. Kushner is Trump's in-law. He is the father of Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. In 2020, Trump pardoned Charles Kushner, who spent 14 months in federal prison after pleading guilty to 16 charges of tax evasion and witness tampering in the 2000s. We begin today's show with Mehdi Hasan, the editor-in-chief of the new media website, Zatteo. Thanks for joining us again, Mehdi. First, your response to President Biden pardoning Hunter, a total unconditional pardon going back to 2014.
It is a sweeping pardon, as you just mentioned, and you played the clips. I think we can hold multiple thoughts in our head at one time on Hunter Biden. Number one, did Joe Biden lie when he said he wouldn't pardon Hunter Biden? Clearly he did. Is he a hypocrite for saying no one is above the law and then putting his son above the law? Yes. Should the presidency be used to protect family members? No. I think we can all agree on those points. Having said that, the kind of outrage from Republicans and some in the media is a little bit kind of ridiculous. We all know that Hunter Biden was targeted. The president is right when he says that they went after his son because he was his son. Anyone called Hunter Smith wouldn't have been prosecuted in the same way for the tax evasion and the gun form that many people get wrong or provide incorrect information on. And as for the Republicans kind of crying foul right now. You have Kash Patel. I know we're going to talk about Kash Patel, who is a Trump toady who's about to be appointed FBI director if he can get through the Senate. He's on record saying he's going to go after the Bidens. The Republicans have made very clear they plan to carry on going after the Biden family. So is it understandable that Joe Biden is trying to protect his son from future investigations? It is understandable. That doesn't make it right. But come on, as you mentioned as well a moment ago, Amy, Charles Kushner is about to become ambassador to France. He is the father-in-law of Ivanka Trump, who Trump pardoned in December 2020. So, you know, let's just get rid of the presidential pardon power, which would require a constitutional amendment. I think that's the source of all the corruption.
And of course, as we talk about pardons, I mean, it would be very interesting to see President Biden, very significant pardon, for example, Leonard Peltier, or talk about pardons or commutations for people on federal death row. Biden himself has said he's against the death penalty.
You've got about 40 people, I believe, still on the federal death row. Yes, pardon them. Pardon them now, because we remember when Donald Trump was leaving office last time, he actually escalated executions at the federal level on at a rate we hadn't seen before for several years. So, yes, pardon 40 people on death row. Pardon 3,000 people in prison, Amy, on federal marijuana offenses, outdated, ridiculous marijuana offenses. Pardon them, not just your own, you know, former addict son. There's so much a president could do with the presidential pardon power for good. We saw Trump misuse it in all sorts of ways for people like Paul Manafort and Charles Kushner and Roger Stone. Now we're seeing Joe Biden misuse it for his own son. Even if it is understandable, it's still wrong. Why not use it for a good cause? But as I say, I would rather get rid of the pardon power. But of course, we can't do that without a constitutional amendment.
Mehdi, let's talk about Kash Patel, Trump's pick to head the FBI. This is Kash Patel speaking to Steve Bannon in his War Room podcast.
We will go out and find the conspirators, not just in government, but in the media. Yes, we're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens, who helped Joe Biden rig presidential elections. We're going to come after you, whether it's criminally or civilly. We'll figure that out. But yeah, we're putting you all on notice. And Steve, this is why they hate us. This is why we're tyrannical. This is why we're dictators, because we're actually going to use the Constitution to prosecute them for crimes they said we have always been guilty of, but never have.
And this is Kash Patel speaking on the Sean Ryan show in September.
The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big. And the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I'd take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops. Go chase down murderers and rapists and drug dealers and violent offenders. What do you need 7,000 people there for? Same thing with DOJ. What are all these people doing here? Looking for their next government promotion, looking for their next fancy government title, looking for their parachute out of government. So while you're bringing in the right people, you also have to shrink government.
So, again, that's Kash Patel. When President Trump wanted to make him deputy director of the FBI in his first administration, the attorney general, Bob Barr, said over my Bill Barr said over my dead body, Mehdi Hasan.
Yes, he did. Bill Barr, of all people, said the guy was completely unqualified. It was detached from reality to try and put him in the FBI. And he said over my dead body. Gina Haspel, who was director of the CIA in December 2020 during Trump's lame duck when Trump tried to appoint Kash Patel to deputy director of the CIA. She threatened to resign, and Mike Pence had to get involved and block that. So this is not some kind of liberal whining about Kash Patel. Prominent conservatives at the time said, no way, this guy is completely unqualified. And you played that clip from The War Room, from the Steve Bannon show. I think that's from December 2023. He put us on notice, he says in that clip. We're putting you on notice. Well, we're on notice. In fact, I've been warning about Kash Patel since 2022, when I predicted, when I was at MSNBC, and I predicted that Trump would make him FBI director and he would go after the media. He's making it very clear. He wants to prosecute journalists. In another time and era, Amy, those words would be chilling. Those words would disqualify him from the running. But of course, Republican senators mostly will fall in line. We'll see if the, you know, the Murkowskis and the Susan Collinses and Mitch McConnell, whether they'll push back in the way they did on Matt Gaetz. He's a deeply dangerous nominee. I would argue that clip you played from the Bannon War Room show makes him perhaps the most dangerous nominee so far, because he's open about the fact that he wants to use the power of the state to crush Donald Trump's opponents. He's a sycophant. He's a bag carrier. He literally wrote a children's book about King Donald Trump. That's how sycophantic he is. And I would say to some of the progressives maybe watching your show this morning, Amy Goodman, who say, well, you know what? The FBI does need reform. We on the left don't like the FBI. We think Kash Patel should go break it up. Well, look, you could not like the FBI for good reason, but the only reason Kash Patel and the Republicans don't like the FBI is because the FBI investigated Donald Trump over ties to Russia, and because the FBI went to Mar-a-Lago and searched his home for stolen classified documents, which he was keeping against the law in his home. So they don't actually care about reform or bureaucracy or deep state. They care about neutering all institutions that can stand up to Donald Trump and MAGA.
I want to go more deeply into what he said in Bannon's War Room. We're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens. If you could explain more who you think he's talking about Joe Biden rigging presidential elections, we're going to come after you, Mehdi.
So Patel is at the core of pretty much every major MAGA conspiracy theory about the deep state, about the election. If you go through the list, I mean, he came to prominence. He was a very junior, as I say, unqualified person. He was working on the House Intelligence Committee with Devin Nunes, the right-wing California congressman. And he came to prominence in going after Robert Mueller, going after the Russia investigation, coming up with this memo that some of the stuff in this famous Nunes memo turned out to be true. Some of it, the inspector general said, no, not true. That's how he caught Trump's attention. That's how he ends up in the White House. That's how he ends up on the National Security Council. By the way, one of the many people saying he shouldn't be given this job is John Bolton, his former boss, not exactly a kind of lily-livered liberal. John Bolton saying he should be rejected by the Senate 100-0. But he's at the core of every conspiracy theory, Amy, whether it's about, you know, Donald Trump didn't lose the election, whether it's January 6th. He testified in a Colorado courtroom over January 6th in the election. The judge said he wasn't a credible witness. He's even had endorsement, I think you mentioned it in the intro, of QAnon in one of the books he wrote. He actually hand wrote a QAnon mantra into the book, and they just posted it on social media. By the way, the FBI regards QAnon as a domestic terror threat. Think about the irony, Amy, of putting a person in charge of the FBI who's actually fine with this group that the FBI thinks is a domestic terror threat. So he is at the core of all these conspiracies. When he says he's going after people, you ask me who he's talking about. Of course, he's talking about the Bidens and Clintons of this world. But actually, it's much more dangerous than that. It's much broader than that. It's anyone who they think is an opponent. I mean, let's just be very, this is what authoritarianism looks like. I know it's become fashionable since the election, even on parts of the left, to say, well, it was all exaggerated to say that Trump is a fascist threat to the Constitution or authoritarian threat to the media. No, it's not exaggerated. These people are saying it out loud, and Trump is appointing them or trying to appoint them to the most senior positions in the United States government and national security apparatus.
And let's talk about who he would be replacing, Christopher Wray, whose term doesn't end for several years, who was appointed by Donald Trump, and why an FBI director has a 10-year term, which goes back to what, post-Watergate, when a president, yeah, Nixon, is trying to deploy his FBI director exactly in the way Kash Patel threatens to do, so that they would span several terms.
Well, we know that J. Edgar Hoover was the man who abused more FBI power than any director in the history of the FBI. I think he was in charge for five decades, astonishing amount of time. No president dared to remove him. And the 10-year terms comes in after that, of course. By the way, I would credit my former MSNBC colleague, Hayes Brown, who said appointing Kash Patel to the FBI director's job would be like appointing a cross between J. Edgar Hoover and Alex Jones, which I think sums up pretty well who Patel is. But look, on the 10-year term, what's interesting, Amy, is, of course, Donald Trump is the great precedent breaker, the great norm buster. When I hear Democrats talking about norms, Trump's already trashed all of them. In Trump one, in Trump term one, he got rid of James Comey, of course, who he was angry at, even though James Comey arguably helped him win the 2016 election. But he got rid of Comey and put in Wray. And that itself was quite unprecedented. Only the second time, I believe, an FBI director had been fired and replaced in the middle of their term. So he appointed Wray. Then he got upset with Wray. Now he wants to replace Wray. I would also make a side point to some of the progressives watching at home. Why is it that their FBI director is always a Republican, even under Democratic presidencies? It's always a Republican. And Democratic presidents always keep on the Republican who the previous Republican appointed, which I just find so ironic. But now he wants to get rid of Wray, put in Patel, which tells you, again, everything that he wants from the FBI. He wants to use it as an instrument of vengeance